place to go.
Tuesday morning, the Steve Cochran Show. We get going from the beautiful Skyline Studios, high atop WGN Radio, the WGN Radio Tower at 303 East Wacker. Welcome in, everybody. Dave Ennett here. G is with us once again for week number two.
Hello, everybody.
Day number two.
Of week number two.
Steve Grzanich in the newsroom.
Good
Mary
morning.
Vanneveld in the traffic center. Good morning.
Good
How's
morning.
Everybody doing?
Foggy out there today.
Oh, well, I'm seeing just
a little pink.
A little bit of pink off on the horizon over the lake.
I have to say, this is one of the best views. I was so excited when I saw where the studios were.
Every day's different.
And it's so gorgeous.
It is. And, you know, it's been over a year now we've been in here. And at first, everybody was just wide-eyed. I can't believe we get to look at this view every morning. And now, over a year later, it's been about 14 months, I think, it hasn't gotten old. And you're right, Mary, it's different every day.
Yeah.
Really cool. You know, you weren't here last week, which was my first week.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was giving me advice about Steve last week. Mm-hmm. So you've got to give me advice.
Advice about Cochran?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do I begin?
Yeah. Everybody was like, giving me advice. Even Anna Belleval last week on Friday was telling me that certain things that I had to do to make sure that Steve was good.
And Dave, I think we should do this live on the air right now if you want.
Yeah. That's what I was putting him. Guys, I was putting Dave on the spot. Did you notice?
He's lurking out in the hall. He's just waiting. He's standing under his speaker. All right. Well, here's a piece of advice. I think you guys will agree with me. Don't say anything to Steve off the air that you don't want to hear
repeated
on the 50,000 watt blowtorch.
Yeah, okay, Mark Carman told me that.
Oh,
so
really?
He did tell me, yeah.
Okay.
Which I know he's one of your proteges. So
because if you do say, you know.
Can I disclaim that?
No, you can't. He's so proud to be one of your proteges.
Yeah. Well, I would say that's a good place to start.
Yeah, even if you say this is off the record, sometimes it comes back.
Because he'll say he forgot.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Oh, you know not to tell me that
ADD.
Stuff.
It just went right by me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, I had a rather eventful morning myself.
Say, I wasn't going to bring it up, G, but go ahead.
You know what? I'm just going to tell the story, everybody. I'm going to come clean, honest with the listeners. Hope everybody has a nice start to their morning. But mine was rather frightening. All last week, I was talking to Steve about how I needed a backup alarm, and I was terrified that I was going to oversleep just because I'm a night owl. I normally go to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning, and now I'm waking up, you know, a couple hours after that. And this morning, Steve, if you can believe it, I overslept.
What time did you wake up?
Am I gonna get fired or something?
No,
like,
you're here?
On this show? Are you kidding?
Okay, good. Because I just don't want people to think bad of me.
Get here before 8.
I just didn't want anyone to think that I was a slacker because the alarm went off at 5:30, and thank God it was my cat. My cat, Sasha, that was howling. She was meowing from the kitchen.
What time did you set Sasha? Did you set Sasha for 5:30?
No, I did not. But if it wasn't for her, I would have overslept.
Your alarm went off at 5:30, and you were sitting here at 5:55.
That's
Thank
fairly
you.
Impressive.
Wow.
Do you
so
live
much.
In the building?
No, I live farther. I live in Uptown, but listen, I have not showered this morning. I'm so sorry.
Well, you smell great.
I'm going to tell everybody.
My advice to you, the first thing of advice, take shower at night.
Yeah,
oh,
I totally agree.
Really?
Nope.
Take it in the morning.
Yes.
Gotta
but
take
I thought
it
the shower
morning.
Helps wake me up
yes,
in the morning.
Yeah,
no.
Not me.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Earlier.
I don't know about you, Mary, but it doesn't matter if I shower in the morning. I'm still not awake till about noon.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm so sorry. I know there's so many people that wake up much earlier, and I'm a big wimp, but I'm adjusting.
No, listen. Our problems are more important.
Okay, Steve, like, this is all because of my cat. My cat is a miracle worker.
You have a cat named Sasha?
Yeah.
Sometimes is this the only cat, or is it cat everybody?
It's the only cat. I'm a cat woman with only one cat. I think once you go to two cats, that could be a little dangerous territory.
I think it's probably 5 or more when you turn into crazy cat lady.
But her name is Sasha, and she's being really cute and sassy, then I call her Sasha Fierce, which is Beyonce's nickname. Uh-huh. If she's being very annoying, I call her Sasha Baron Cohen.
Ah, sure. Very nice. Now, did she ever take her hand, her little leg and stick it up in the air, and you go and look at you and go talk to the paw? Talk to the paw. Don't bring it up to me.
She
talk
does
to the
swipe
paw.
At me sometimes. Sir.
You kind of owe Sasha Fierce a little treat here.
I know.
Don't you think?
What am I going to do?
I don't know. Ferrara pan candy. You want to send over another box?
No, but I mean, like, thank God. Like, normally, like, I just pat the bed and she jumps up and she, like, rolls over and wants me to rub her belly. Sorry, this is too much cat talk.
Is that like dating?
Yeah, she's who I date in the morning.
No, but I'm just saying. A lot of guys might like that treatment as well. Just roll over and rub my belly.
But thank God I didn't do it. And then she kept howling. And then I looked at my phone. I was like, and I jumped up. It was like I was a cartoon out of the Looney Tunes.
This guy over here?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Annett?
He's
know Dave.
Never overslept.
Well, I don't know if he's ever overslept, but the fact is he doesn't use an alarm. He wakes up on his own.
It's because what? He's a vampire.
Well, I set an alarm.
You
I
never use it.
This morning, my alarm was set for 3:22. I woke up at 3:21.
Oh, don't you hate that?
That's the worst. Oh,
what? Yeah, I wasted a minute. I could have been sleeping.
Oh, it's a. Oh,
well, I thought my cat was waking me up at 3:30, so I thought I had more time.
Do you do the pee-pee negotiation where you wake up and you really got to go to the bathroom, but you don't want to get out of bed?
All the time.
And then it's 15 minutes later? It's 20 minutes later.
Who are you negotiating 25.
With? Wow. With yourself.
The voice is in my head.
Yeah, because you don't really want to break your sleep by going to the bathroom, but you really need to go.
Yeah.
See, I'm right there with you, Steve.
Well, that's why the show is doing Steve Cochran's signature catheters. I don't know how that's going to help. We got to do the top six. We'll do that in just a second. Also on the program, Kid of the Week. Later on in the MVPP, a really cool story of a kid that's done something pretty remarkable that I think you're going to be impressed with. And if you're not, well, you're wrong. Dean will be on at 8. It'll be more on entertainment time then. Tom Dreesen's going to hang out for a while this morning. And we're going to ask him to tell stories from show business that we don't know that are cool. And that, you know, he's forgotten more cool stories than I've ever had. So Dreesen will be in here. And there's lots of other stuff to get to as well. Get your text question of the day. We haven't done that in a few days. And, you know, Dave's here and G's here and Sasha's not. Meanwhile, look over there. That's Super Joe, if you're watching on your radio. That's Vivian and Mary Vandeveld and Steve. And anybody need anything before we press forward here, Steve?
Let's see if I get enough coffee.
Oh, we don't need any candy. I ate enough of that yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, did we get rid of all that candy?
No,
we're still working on some
of
it in here.
We still got the stars in here, Steve. You want some?
Yes. Don't bring them into me.
I got some chuckles for a lighter moment later this morning.
I'm supposed to slap him if he goes for any candy or chocolate today.
I left the building yesterday, so I wouldn't eat any of it.
Steve also did a segment this morning on the opening bell on sleep.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
About how optimistic people get the best sleep.
Well, then I wonder why I have a problem.
Boy, that explains
how
my
do
problems.
Depressed, anxious people do not with sleep.
Well, not I saw another well. Delightful story yesterday that said if you take a lot of naps, you may have Alzheimer's.
Ooh,
these are the exciting stories I won't be bringing to you this morning.
Hey, what were we talking about?
I have no idea.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Ever want to see $1 billion? Like up close, $1 billion? The State Fair, I should say the World's Fair of Money, hosted annually in a major city by the American Numismatic Association. Super Joe, is my membership at the American Numismatic Association, is that up to date?
Geez, yeah, I think so.
Because Sandberg was in charge of that, and I don't think it's a priority anymore since she's a big shot boss.
I'll double check it.
Anyway, they're going to be in Rosemont, featuring more than $1 billion in historic rare coins. You ever done a thing where you get change and you look through it just because you look through it, and you go, ooh, a 1974 penny.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet that's worth something. I've never had a really valuable coin, have you?
No. I mean, how many coins does it take to make $1 billion worth of coins? Like, is it like 5 coins? Like, is that all it takes?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Ask the numismatics.
Yeah, it depends on the value, right?
Right. Did you know there was a World's Fair of Money?
No, I did not know that. The rides, I understand, are spectacular.
What does numismatic mean?
People money. Who like numbers, I guess.
It's money, right? It's American Money Association. They have a $3 million nickel. That's pretty good. And a $100,000 bill, which is no longer made.
And what if you accidentally reached into your pocket for a nickel and, you know, buying a pack of gum? Well, I guess gum doesn't cost a nickel anyway.
No, it doesn't, Grandpa.
I knew I shouldn't have said that.
But anyway, that's going on at Rosemont. Next. Yesterday, the Trump administration, we should just call this the Daily Trump. Like, what did he do now? The Trump administration unveiled a rule that could deny visas and permanent residency to hundreds of thousands of immigrants for the crime of being poor. Here's what happens. A lot of people come to this country and they seek asylum.
Uh-huh.
And they come in, and a living wage in this country is much different than a living wage would be somewhere else. So a lot of people don't make a living wage. As many as 37 to 40%, I think was the early number I saw yesterday when the story broke. So under this new rule, if it's in fact put into play, and Steve, I don't know the status. Does the president do this on his own, or does there need some congressional approval for this?
This is going to be a rule that it's an administrative rule, so it will not
meet. Doesn't need approval.
No.
All right, so it goes into effect October 15th. And people would come into the country, and if they need food stamps or if they need welfare or some additional help, they would probably never be granted citizenship, and they'd be sent home.
Well,
including, by the way, a lot of American citizens.
Right.
You know, who wouldn't achieve this test as well.
Well, I was thinking we weren't seeking asylum. We weren't refugees. But my parents, when they immigrated here, which we did legally, it took them their entire life savings. My father only had $100 to his name.
Right.
So we would not have qualified. So I wouldn't be here, yeah, technically.
And in many of these cases, some of the people impacted are working and paying taxes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you believe that if you pay taxes into a system, you should get the benefits of that system, this is kind of weird that we're talking about.
And a lot of people are paying taxes and not getting any of the benefits either. So they're actually contributing,
yes,
and not receiving anything on the other end.
The Trump administration said the point is to encourage self-reliance and self-sufficiency. This is maybe the number one window into his psyche.
And I think
that you have to work harder. You have to work harder. You're not doing enough for you,
right,
without actually examining anyone's life, because you don't do that. You actually provide opportunities for people to thrive. If they don't take them, you could certainly develop a program with certain levels. If people are sponging off the system, that's way different, mm-hmm, than people who are trying and need help.
There truly are people that are on getting help from the system and doing it for a couple of years to get on their feet and then getting off the system.
Sure.
Nobody really just wants to live on the system because it's not really a great lifestyle of just living on the system.
If you want to live on the system, you aren't trying. That's a whole,
right,
different argument.
Yes, absolutely. But
next, Placido Domingo is in trouble. The aging opera superstar has now 36 people in the opera world who say that they either witnessed inappropriate sexually tinged behavior by Domingo as he pursued younger women with impunity. Wasn't it an opera? Impunity?
Mm-hmm.
For decades, Placido Domingo, one of the most celebrated and powerful men in opera, has tried to pressure women into sex by dangling jobs and then sometimes punishing the women professionally when they refused. I believe we call that a Harvey Weinstein. Not surprisingly, Domingo and his people deny it. It's an interesting denial, though, because the phraseology of it is such that that's not exactly what happened. So it's sort of a non-denial denial, or a denial with a but in it. One T. Next, with the odds of success for potential Chicago casino sites due this week, Mayor Lightfoot said Monday she isn't sure whether a gambling operator can make enough money given the upfront costs they must pay under current state law. Consultants of Union Gaming Analytics are expected to deliver their view of the city's casino feasibility today. Five potential South and West Side locations are under review. This is a political lead to tell you we need to give the casino people a break if we really want a casino. I don't know if we really want a casino. How about the casino proves it's really going to be a tax and jobs benefit?
I was gonna ask, like, do we know, like, historically or based on research, how much casinos help cities? Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, the Olympics. Like, everybody thinks the Olympics are so great, but then
everybody goes broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Detroit's got a downtown casino, and I don't know what it's done to the city. I suppose you could look as close as Detroit to find out, but I don't know. It's just gut feel, but it doesn't feel so good to go, what can we do for the casinos? If you want a casino in Chicago, what can you do for Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Next, A fungus that devastates banana plants has arrived in Latin America. I love bananas. Oh, we can't
it's
have
my
it.
Favorite oh, food.
Me too.
I eat it every day.
It's your favorite food.
Well, okay. It's not maybe number one, but favorite it's in my top 10. And it's there's one on my desk every morning.
Yeah, I bring a banana every morning,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, wow. me too. The three of us all eat bananas.
I can't believe that.
Strawberry banana smoothie last night.
Really?
That's close. Yeah.
What time?
What time do they have a smoothie? Uh-huh. I don't know, 6, 6:30.
Okay, yeah, that was another thing. I'll ask you
later. Did you have a smoothie?
No, I just wanted to know, like, when is the last time everybody kind of eats before bedtime?
Oh, I try to eat before 6.
Yeah, okay. Before 6:30. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I didn't want to derail you.
I was late last night. I'll eat it, please.
Okay.
Come on. Some of the people that worked on this show.
Don't eat past, like, 8.
Definitely not.
No, that's way late.
Yeah. Anyway, it's called Panama Disease Tropical Race 4. Sounds like a reality show.
Wow.
And it's hit banana farms in the Caribbean. The announcement was accompanied by a declaration of a national state of emergency in the banana world.
It sounds like that would be an incredible name for a sunscreen or something.
Yes, like, it
that
would.
I would buy that sunscreen.
Panama Disease Tropical Race 4.
Yeah, you don't put Panama and tropical in a banana devastation.
Right?
You know, that's fungus.
Oh, banana devastation is a great name for a
bananas
banana.
Are weird for me because they can't be too green and they can't be too yellow. So I've got to find that a perfect sweet spot, which can be difficult.
Well, if you buy, you know, slightly green bananas, just mm-hmm. leave them in a window for about 2 hours. Get a little sunlight. They'll,
exactly.
A little yellow
really?
Up on you.
Yeah. Don't put them in the refrigerator.
I don't mean don't put them in a plant, like in a pot. I mean, this is where they get direct sunlight. Next, the pumpkin spice latte will be on Starbucks menu earlier than ever this year because it makes a lot of money. Starbucks bringing it back earlier this year on August 27th.
Too early.
That's not too early, by the way.
It's too early, Steve.
I just want to say that it's had unofficial launches as early as like August 27th, and it usually comes out August 30th or September 1st.
Steve,
so this isn't too early.
This is them fighting words.
Do you like, do you like pumpkin spice?
No, it's just too early.
But do you like it?
I like it. But I don't want it
you want
all
it
year.
Seasonal.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently they don't need the pumpkin crop to bring it in, you know?
It's like everybody just wants instant gratification, and now, like, Starbucks needs to be more like a parent and not agree to just give people what they want.
Well, my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Starbucks.
As with everything, the money that drives the pumpkin spice thing is unbelievable for Starbucks. For me, it's just extra people standing in line waiting to get this drink while I'm trying to get my regular coffee. But Starbucks, this is billions of dollars.
And yesterday, Dunkin' announced its fall menu items will be available on August 21st, a week earlier.
That's great news. They have the best pumpkin coffee. At Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, they have a maple coffee, too.
I feel like people...
You're a pumpkin coffee.
No, you're a pumpkin.
He's a banana pumpkin. I don't know.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to get my banana.
I'm not awake.
All right, it's 6:33, and we're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Got to find that kid.
My favorite.
Isn't he great? All right, so the loving story of friendship is one that I hope you have in your life. This story is really amazing. Two boys, one named Joey Shepin and the other Yad Hamid, and their buddy Ray Zhao. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. If not, we'll find out in just a second. Ray's a three-time national high jump champ. A few weeks ago, suffered a spinal cord injury during high jump training, and is now a quadriplegic, has some minimal movement in his arms. Joey and Iyad, his friends, engineered a specific assistive device using a technology that's out there that they further developed. This tech was introduced as part of the STEM curriculum. And his good friends of Ray, the guys are seeking a way to help him with increasing and improving motor control of his hands, and made a simple yet effective method of controlling a computer or video game using this technology. So they used their ability at science and tech to help their friend in this truly incredibly difficult part of life. They showed true compassion. There's a video that will... Can we post that, Viv? You post the video of what they did? And, well, it's just a cool story. It's a cool story all the way around and great things done in a really tough time. And Yad, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
And, Yad, I mean, how old are you?
I'm 15 as of right now.
15. Wow.
15. And how do I pronounce Ray's last name?
Zhao.
Ray Zhao. Okay. Stand by 1 second. Let me get Joey in here as well. Good morning, Joey Shepin.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am fine. Am I pronouncing Shepin correctly?
Yes, you are.
All right, Joey, let me start with you. Where do you guys come by your science and tech knowledge? Is it a hobby? Is it a passion?
You know, I really think it's both. It's something that that I really love doing, and, you know, I just love learning about technology and computers, and it's just something that I love to do.
Any odd, same feel?
Yeah.
All right, so, Yad, when you found out about Ray, is this something that jumped to your mind right away or something that sort of developed?
It sort of developed since I was one of the first people who actually visited him. So after, like, getting to know his condition, I realized that he was really bored during his hospital room. So I thought that playing some games would have been some fun.
So, Joey, what is this thing you two specifically developed? And keep in mind, you're talking to an idiot. You're talking to me.
All right. So we built a device that uses capacitive touch. And this is similar to the technology used in a smartphone screen. We use that, and essentially when he put his hand down on this sensitive pad, it would trigger something in the computer, and we can kind of control what that thing is. So, you know, we had some simple games, and we hooked it up so that he could play some simple games given his limited control movement with this device.
Yeah, and yeah, I want people to stop and think about that for a second. When your life has been completely turned upside down, the one thing I'm sure you're desperate for is some sort of control over your own life and being able to do really anything. So, Yad, what have you allowed him to do now outside of what Joey just described?
At that time, we allowed him to, like, even though it's just really pressing only one button, he was only able to, like, watch TV, and we essentially gave him the ability to play simple games such as, like, Flappy Bird or some other games.
Yeah, I'm not great at Flappy Bird. G?
You two are just remarkable. I mean, extraordinary 15-year-olds. I mean, this is not typical. How did you both know the science and the tech to do this? Like, I mean, do you attribute a class? Like, is there a specific teacher that helped you build this?
Or? Do you write code for fun?
Yeah, like, how did you guys do this?
We had a great science teacher at Willow Middle School named Mr. Polidoro who really showed us this this specific device that we borrowed from the school, which I think the school's STEM program was really important in us like coming up with the idea and sort of knowing how to do this.
And Joey, what does this mean for your future? Is this something you're going to chase now?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was just a project that we wanted to do, and I think we're continuing sort of like a new version of it because he's been working really hard at the rehabilitation center, and he's actually gained more movement in his wrist and arm. So we were thinking of making him sort of a different setup for using a computer because I think it's challenging for him to, you know, use a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, when I played football in high school, Dave, you know, after high school, people move on pretty quickly.
Sure.
And I wasn't close to him, but our high school quarterback at school and university, Cornell University, was driving with a friend who was drunk. There was a terrible car accident, and he ended up as a quadriplegic. He's now 58, and he's married and has a child, life does go on, but not without people like Iyad and Joey. And the fact that you guys did this at 15 is really remarkable. I know it doesn't feel remarkable at your age, and I know you got adults lining up all over to tell you how great it is, but it really is great. And you guys could be doing a lot of things at 15 that aren't this. So it's great that you have supported your friend, and you'll continue to do that with the gifts that you have. So I'm proud of both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So is there anything you want to say?
For me, not really. Mr. Polidoro really did help a lot. And for one of your previous questions, yes, we do code for fun.
Of course they do. Of course, Steve.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. All right, guys, have a great day. Thank you very much. You're both amazing kids of the week. Hold on, we have some prizes for you off the air. And Super Joe, what prizes would you like to give them today?
We're going to give them a couple gift cards, one from Lou Malnati's, get them some pizza, and an Apt gift card, our favorite technology store.
There you go. Give them both. Yeah. They probably go into Apt and they mock the thing. Can you imagine these guys going into Apt and asking for help?
They can probably deconstruct like a television and build like a supercomputer from it.
I would never take them to Apt because if you left them alone for 5 minutes, they'd be taking a refrigerator apart to see how it works and then putting it back together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know what? I'd let them.
Yes, because you know what? That's good parenting and good role. Yeah, these kids know what they're doing.
15 years old. You see a friend in that. I mean, think about how tough it is for an adult to see another adult. At 15 years old, it's amazing to me that they have the heart and the mind. Forget about their mind, not talented there. The heart to go in and see their friend in that condition and all the things and ways that his life has changed and then do something positive with it.
It's children and kids are remarkable because sometimes they're just a lot more resilient and adaptable than adults.
It's a cool story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice job, Viv. Glad you found those guys. So, and the guy I mentioned, Dean Winters, by the way, at 58, wasn't expected to live, I don't think, to 30. So we continue to develop technologies and things again and again and again to try to make folks' life better who've been through horrible trauma.
It's remarkable your friend was able to have a family as well. So I'm so glad.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
That?
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I love the show Friends. I've seen every episode 125 times. When my daughter went off to college, she loved Friends before I loved Friends. Well, I liked it, but I wasn't hooked on it. But it sort of made me feel like I was closer to her because I'd watch the Friends reruns. And we talk about them. So I've seen every show.
That's sweet.
She's sweet. So as time went on, over the course of that 10-year run, the show got better and better and better. The writing got better. The characters got better. A few bumps in the road, Joey and Rachel, stop it. But it was good. But I don't understand why I need this. To celebrate the 25th anniversary of Friends, more than 1,000 theaters are going to host a 3-night marathon of some of the sitcom's most beloved episodes. The Nap episode needs to be in there. Do you know the Nap episode?
No.
Nap episode is where Joey and Ross have the best nap ever, only if they're spooning on a couch together.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's strong. It's very strong.
Which character do you most identify with? Who would you have been?
Probably
had you
Chandler, whack job. Yeah.
But he's also like sexy, isn't he? No.
Oh, they're all sexy.
Oh, no, that's Joey is sexy.
Joey's the stud.
Sorry, I wasn't a regular watcher.
Yeah, Joey's the stud.
But he's not smart, right?
Not terribly, no.
I never got into Friends.
You would. I'm telling you, you would now.
No, I don't want
to. No, I'm telling you. If you started watching it now, you'd get hooked.
Not happening.
They were trying to figure out what the show was in the early years. But I'm telling you, somewhere around, I don't know, season 3, 4, they got on a good ride and it kept developing and it was good.
Well, it's amazing all the things that are now so popular with really young people now that, you know, all these shows that are throwbacks kind of for them that are like 14, high schoolers are watching Friends.
How about your 18 to 25 and Friends is a show that you're...
Right.
Older brothers and sisters and parents watch.
So inaccurate, the fact that none of them really have good jobs and they live in that big apartment.
Of course it is.
In New York.
Well, so is Seinfeld. Seinfeld
is in New York.
Jerry Seinfeld's apartment in New York would cost $1 billion.
Also, even Sex and the City, that made no sense.
No,
like, how could Carrie live in that beautiful apartment? But people love events. I'm telling you,
Well, here's the deal. Theaters over They're going to show four different episodes over the course of three nights. September. I don't know how they get 2 hours out of this. September 23rd, 28th, and October 2nd. Each episode will be remastered in 4K, and every screening will include never-before-seen clips and interviews. So maybe they're not trying to get 2 hours out of it, but it is in a theater. And this is obviously another way to extend the brand. But when I've seen them all, mm-hmm. many times, I don't know that I'd go to a theater to see it.
Well, it's like at Christmas time. I like to go see Die Hard. They play it at the Music Box.
It's a sweet Christmas movie.
And then you go and watch Die Hard. And you've seen it, but it's an event. Yeah. And I feel like everybody wants...
But you need that for the holiday spirit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, I think... Did you get into Game of Thrones when it was on?
Not at all.
It became such an event on Sunday nights to get together with your friends.
And there's not much of those
dinner,
anymore.
And, yeah, they're filling a gaping hole in... a lot of people's lives.
Gaping Hole is another good name for a band. Mm. I keep coming up this morning. Text question of the day coming up as soon as I think of it. In the meantime, it's 7 o'clock in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
The third planet is sure and they're being washed by an eye in the sky.
713. I'm going to turn the microphone on and nobody can hear me. First day, sorry. Steve Grzanich, our resident spaceman. And the Perseid meteor shower, is that over now?
No, I believe there's another night. If you're out and about, I think tonight, it's starting to wane off a little bit. But usually August 12th is the peak day. But we've had a lot of clouds lately, so...
You didn't see anything?
Nothing.
Because I pictured you outside last night with your telescope watching stuff.
Yeah, I normally go camping during this time of the year to go like up to Wisconsin where it's a little darker, but just too cloudy.
What's the forecast for tonight? Clouds again?
Yeah, more clouds and maybe even rain tonight, so we're in the red zone.
It's not great.
Yeah, I know.
So, anyway, it started a discussion along with the recent Area 51 story. So here's the text question of the day, and I got to give G credit for this because really it came from you. And Dave, you don't know the text question, but I think you'll enjoy it. If aliens landed today
mm-hmm.
and they took you back to their planet, what would you provide them? What's so special about you?
Are you saying what would you provide them to try to get
well, they're
home
obviously
or
take,
try to
no.
save your life?
No, they're already taking you back to the planet. What are they getting from you? Why did they take you?
Pizza.
Oh, I
like they want to know about planet Earth. Yeah, what can you
right.
provide
yeah.
them?
What skill set do you have for an alien planet?
Like I wouldn't even be able to tell them how a television or a radio works.
Well, neither can I. I don't know how it works.
You
no
run the radio.
Button.
You run the entire
yeah,
radio
I do. I'm
system.
A mogul. I don't know how our voices get from here to there. I don't. I should have gone to that class. I didn't go. I'll start. I think I would provide, like the old court jester, I'd be the smartass. I would be on your planet. I would be the planet smartass.
Okay, I don't think you want to begin a new relationship that way, Steve.
You got to see if, well, first off, they kidnapped me, okay? Yeah. I didn't ask to be flown to their planet.
Well, that's my
they
point.
They kidnapped me.
You mean you want to teach them jokes? What if you can't even speak their language?
Well, they kidnapped me.
Well, yeah.
The text question is,
yeah.
What good are you to an right. alien culture?
And just know that if aliens are smart enough and technologically advanced enough to get here to take you back, they're probably going to eat you when they get here.
Oh. So. Well, but we're going back to their planet. Play along.
Yeah.
We're going to
take
their
out.
Planet.
It's take out is what it is.
What good are you to them?
You know how, like, when you get kidnapped by a spy, they want to know what's going on in your country, etc. So,
or they want money.
I think I would take a nice bottle of wine.
Oh, you'd be a wine guy.
Yeah, I'd try to
get them drunk,
do a little wine tasting.
So you would be their earthly wino.
Well, no, I wouldn't use that term necessarily.
It'd be funny if, like, an alien came down and kidnapped Dave because they needed a wine expert.
He would be, like, my favorite.
I'm hardly a wine
He's
expert.
He's like, let me tell you, and something that goes along with this 1873 Cabernet is a banana.
Yes.
My favorite food
yeah.
on planet Earth.
See, that's exactly
kale.
I think I would go back and teach them public relations or communications. That way they could communicate with other yeah. people or planets when they go.
See, now Steve is going way too yeah. deep in this.
He's useful.
Thinking too
I don't
deep.
He's useful.
No, I would be a useless human representative.
Tell people what you said during the break. What would you bring? What is your skill? What's the one thing you'd be offering up?
I know nothing, but I could teach them how to make pasta carbonara.
That's a great dish. Now we're done.
How do you know that like wouldn't that. Keep you alive? Pasta carbonara is popular throughout the universe.
But then as we kept talking during the commercial break, I realized I don't even know how, I would never even know how to begin to butcher a pig, honestly, to get the bacon.
Well, I'm sure they've got that part handled. Okay. They're an advanced culture.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, they kidnapped us.
Yeah, I could make that, but otherwise it'd be completely useless as a human representative.
All right, so I'm the court jester.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the kitchen. Dave is out serving wine.
Mm-hmm.
Steve is working on PR. You know, Sandberg would probably just boss him around if she were still on this show, but Mary Vanderbilt, you could do alien traffic.
Oh, come on. UFO traffic. That would be hilarious. I think I'd rather teach him, how about something like exercise or how to dance? Cause
oh, dancing. Oh, sure, yeah.
It makes me happy.
I mean, so, this was inspired by the kids of the week because
they're super smart.
Yes, and they're building whatever they built. I don't even know what they built. They're so
You talked about it for 10 minutes. We don't even know what they did.
I know.
But, okay, so you're the dance instructor for the aliens. Super Joe, what are you doing?
Well, I would think that coming from another planet, you know, would take a lot of their energy. So I could teach them how to, you know, take a nap or a little R&R, you know.
Napping. Yeah, I like napping. That.
Or, you know, teach them how to sit down and just chill, watch, you know, sports on TV.
Right.
I could definitely teach people
You could
how
be
to
a
that.
Lump.
How to work a, lump, a remote. Yeah.
Vivian, what are you going to teach them? Oh, you should teach them Greek. Yeah, she'll teach them Greek. That's all. Yeah, keep that microphone in front of you, will you? Come on. As a matter of fact, give me a Greek word that I don't know.
Kalimera. Mm. We'll start easy.
Kalimera?
Kalimera.
Kalimera.
Is that calamari?
Sounds like it.
Everybody thinks that.
Say it again.
Kalimera.
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 I bet it's some food, isn't it?
Good morning.
It's food, no.
Oh, that's good morning?
Yeah.
Calamari.
Kalimera. Kalimera. Good morning. Okay, so we've learned a Greek word already, and we're not the aliens that are about to kidnap us.
I'm feeling, like, better about what I can do now that I've heard what everyone else can do in our group.
Right. We are not that useful. 815 says I'd teach him the downward dog.
Oh, yoga.
Another 815, the beauty of music from the 80s.
Mm.
Yeah, they say music universal thing like math. So there's a good chance that the aliens will have music and appreciate music.
Can you imagine if they kidnapped you and it took forever to get back to their planet and all they had was a band or a musician you hated? And they just played it over
What would
and
be
over
the...
Just
again.
Play them disco and they'll bring...
Like in my case, it'd be ABBA. Back. If they just played ABBA Waterloo over and over again.
So I'm guessing you don't love Mamma Mia.
Not so much. 847, I'd be the perfect example of why they should take someone else.
Me too.
this is kind of funny. 630, I tell them, don't bother interviewing Jeremy Piven. 630, food. Food. We'd only be good for food. That was kind of Steve's point. 847, Dave would offer the aliens kale. And they'd fly him back to Earth immediately and drop him off.
All of this, see, there is the answer.
Or they just drop him off on the moon on the way home. Not even bring him all
the way. Just kick him out while they're flying over.
That's not nice.
Kale. 773, I could offer the aliens 213 pounds of white meat. I'm Wally the trucker. All right, you get the idea. There's your text question, 312-981-7200. Texters, being a retired teacher who taught 43 years, I teach the aliens English phrases and how to read.
Hmm.
815, I could show them how to master Candy Crush.
Wonder what level they're on.
630, I make a mean chili dip. 810, I could teach aliens to play hockey. Well, their planet has ice, right?
Wow.
Yeah. 847, Dave would offer the aliens kale and they'd throw him out of the spaceship. That's
okay,
a different version.
That's one way to get home.
Let's see. 80s music, downward dog. We did those. 847, I'm great at organizing and efficiency, process improvement. I'll make their life easier. You know what? Wow. You know what aliens don't need? A nag.
No, this sounds like a good job application.
Can you imagine aliens kidnap you? You get there and you go, you got to clean this closet up now. Let's go. 847, I could teach them how to make kombucha. What's kombucha?
It's like a fermented kind of like tea drink. That's good for your intestines.
Anybody drink kombucha?
I've had it.
No.
Is it good?
No.
Joe
knows he hasn't even tried it.
My wife buys it once in a while.
Is it good?
Yeah. I haven't had it, but she likes it, I think.
Steve, you had kombucha?
No. Mm-mm.
I would say about kombucha the same thing I say about kale. There's other food. There's other drinks. 920, can't we just send Trump and have a big party when the spaceship takes off? That's a good call. It's a very good call.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I don't think the aliens are going to come here and take Trump. They're going to go, what, are you kidding me? I don't think so. 630, they can take the Kardashians back. 708, interpersonal relationship skills. Well, that's making an assumption that on their planet, they're not getting along.
Right.
We don't know that. Maybe they all are, you know, terrifically connected. And 847, I could teach them how to suck at golf.
As in you, Steve Cochran?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I don't suck. I just... No.
You don't get quite to the UCK.
I'm just not...
It's just that...
You know what? Like so many things in my life, I ain't what I used to be. It's 727. but I think the show is better than ever. Let's do this.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
See, I could teach them delusion. I just said I think the show's better than ever, so I can show them what delusion's all about. A.J. Buffetti is the name. A.J. was born without much of his left arm, and in a morning of amazing kids, he's no kid... He's college age, but with no wrist, hand, or fingers, just a nub near his elbow, that wasn't going to slow down AJ. He learned to swim. He learned to golf. He had great Lego skills. Buffetti's love for those toys sparked a fascination with building stuff. He's tried prosthetics, but many of them were heavy and comfortable and easily breakable. So, he made his own arm.
See? He could teach the aliens
he
a lot.
He made his own arm. This is a future of 3D printing, too. It's part of that story. But AJ, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, and thank you for having me on the show today, Steve.
Thanks for being on. You know, my knees aren't so great. Could you whip a couple knees up for me before noon?
I had some requests to try to work around legs, and that's going to be a lot of equations needed.
All right.
The support mass.
Now, the easy jump here would be, well, because you don't have an arm that you were naturally born with, you've thought about it your whole life, so this was maybe easier than somebody approaching this from scratch. None of this could have been easy.
Well, it's not easy building an arm.
There's your phrase of the day. It's not easy building an arm. So the 3D printer you used is from where?
Well, it's a 3D printer that uses FDM, or the process was, it's a filament deposit machine. So basically, it's little wires of plastic that we use to connect up, and it connects up to a cone that heats it up.
I've seen 3D printers work. This is at your college in Virginia, Tidewater Community College. I have seen, there's a 3D printer, for instance, at Wilson Sports. So they'll come up with a prototype for a baseball bat or a tennis racket or a golf head for a club, and they'll whip it up in the 3D printer. I mean, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Is that where life is going?
Yeah. For where I was building the arm, yeah.
Well, I mean, in general, are we going to be able to build stuff on a 3D printer that's going to make life easier?
Yes, the 3D printing technology has been undergoing a rapid evolution since 2009. Like, where back then, say, 20 or 30 years ago, the technology was very bulky and expensive to have, and you can only just print out flimsy plastic models. But for this decade, we have 3D printing technology that could do a whole lot better. To provide a lot of strength to plastic and even easy for consumers to get their hands on.
AJ, how long did it take you to build your arm, and what is the functionality of your arm? What all can it do?
Well, for my arm, which I dubbed the light arm, it took about 5 months of development to build. Most of it was just free concept sketches that I used for either Autodesk or SolidWorks. And I was also working with my partner to perfect the design. So the first step was to to make sure we get our equations correct, whether for like length and height and even like the surface area of the stub that I have. And then it took at least about a month of printing, where either the process could go for about a few hours for tinier parts or even take an entire day for larger parts.
Now, did you graduate from Tidewater, or is that this coming winter?
I'm actually in the process right now for graduating Tidewater Community College. They're doing the bureaucracy right now for sending the paper.
Sure.
I should at least have the paper in hand by fall, but I've been enrolled into a university recently for Old Dominion.
Oh, fantastic. It's a great school. Now, this seems like it's very marketable, like a personalized, customized arm. And I know the prosthetic companies and people that work in that field will go, well, Steve, that's what we already do. But this is something that you, as an experienced individual who has a specific need, you were able to develop something that works specifically for you. Is anybody doing that yet?
I have seen a few other projects that other people take on. There was one project from someone who was 10 years old that managed to build a 3D prosthetic that fires glitter out of the shape of a unicorn horn. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, I remember that. I do remember that. Yeah, that was a recent story.
Yeah, that's crazy that a 10-year-old beat me to something that fires something out of an arm
already. It's nice. AJ gets all this done. He's going, that little creep is 10. Listen, it's an amazing story. And all I would say is, when one of the tech companies comes along or a major pharmaceutical comes along and wants to offer you $500 for the technology, hold out, because you've got a brilliant mind here, and you and your partner, I think, are going to come up with other amazing things to help help the world. So good for you, pal.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate you being on. AJ, you are the most valuable person on the planet.
Thanks for having me on your show today.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you being on.
Wow.
So in the last hour, if you already were having a low self-esteem day,
I know.
We got a couple of 15-year-olds writing code for fun who are helping their paraplegic friend develop some independence. And AJ, mm-hmm. who made his own arm.
Yeah.
He's 22.
That's a great counterpoint to this little text question of the day as well. What are aliens going to get from you? I know what they're going to get from AJ and those two kids from Kid of the Week. It's 7:34. Back with your headlines in a moment. Steve standing by at 720 WGN. 6:30. Unfortunately, all I'd have to offer aliens would be unfiltered cigarettes, Texas Hold'em, and Pinocchio. Or Pinochle. Pinocchio. Pinocchio played Pinochle. I don't know if you know that. And 847, I'd open my second Cochrane Plumbing location.
So, hilarious.
So you're the one.
I love it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. If you believe, they put a
man on the moon. Man on the moon. Got more texters. In the morning of super smart kids, what are we doing? They're super smart younger people. What are we doing?
That's what we could do. We could introduce them to the people that have been on this year radio show today.
It's a good point. So, like, the aliens land and go, yo, tiny green guy, Take a look at these three.
Here's this person that I know that's much better at stuff.
And then the tiny green guy would look up and down me very judgmentally and go, no. And then just walk away. Before I get to more texters on aliens kidnapping you and what you're bringing to their culture, did you hear what happened on the highway in California yesterday? So another Southern California gun incident. A CHP officer was killed, two others injured, when a man driving a truck that was impounded opened fire during a traffic stop Monday. So the cop, you think about this, every time a cop stops somebody, the risk involved in walking up to your car, not knowing if you're hostile or if you're going to be compliant, and then not knowing what's in your car. I mean, traffic stops are a big deal, and we take them lightly and we don't think about them. The officer who pulled over the truck decided the car needed to be impounded. He goes back to his car. He's, working on whatever paperwork digitally he needs to work on. Guy gets out of his truck with a gun and starts shooting at the cop. Hits him, and it turns out the wounds killed him. He was later taken by air ambulance but died from his injuries. He was able to radio that shots were being fired and other police started showing up. A gun battle ensued on the side of a highway. Now, there's no time to stop traffic. So you got a cop, you got a guy in a truck, you're coming down the highway, you don't know shots are being fired, and it's an actual gun battle going back and forth. It was a long and horrific gun battle, says Riverside Police Chief Sergio Diaz. Gunfire erupted in Riverside, east of Los Angeles, at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. Highway patrol officer stopped a white GMC pickup, called for a tow truck, filling out the paperwork. The suspect from his vehicle pulled out an unknown caliber rifle and started firing. There's a thought, unconfirmed, that it was possibly an AR-15. Not an AK, but an AR. Seven law enforcement officers fired their weapons during the gunfight. The next two officers arrived, immediately were engaged, and they were both hit. The suspect was identified by his father as Aaron Luther. The shooter's father and the family are devastated. My wife and I are in shock right now. We're just praying for the officers, said a brief phone interview. One of the other officers that hit is critical. The other is expected to survive. The officer that was killed is 33-year-old Andre Moye, or Moye. Been with the CHP for four years. By the way, I said car. He's on highway patrol. He's on a motorcycle. So it's an awful story. Los Angeles Times reported that the woman's driving home with 6-year-old twins in her car. Bullet comes through her windshield.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody in the vehicle was harmed. We don't know where the suspect was coming from. And I don't know that they understand the motive of why confiscating his truck meant this guy would snap and start killing people. But again, a gun in the hand of a crazy person is how people get killed. So enough of this. It's the person that pulls the trigger. It's not the gun. The person that pulls the trigger has to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Control the carnage. And now we return to our texters. All right, so the question is, aliens come down. They're going to kidnap us. They're going to kidnap us. They're going to take us back to their planet. You know, I had a tea time. I'm not ready for this. I'm not packed. 312, to escape from the alien planet, just constantly play that Cars for Kids song you play. 773, I give a great massage. Come on. I don't care who you are, where you are. There's not enough of that. 217, offer them a very powerful man with a funny haircut that wants to do a space force and then send me home.
Oh, hilarious.
Right? Let's see. 630, I would show the aliens how to play beer pong.
Beer pong. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Right?
So we got them with, we got wine for them. We got beer pong.
Yeah, absolutely. You're the sommelier for the universe, Dave.
Yes.
630, today's my 36th anniversary. I would teach them patience. So much patience.
Oh, congratulations.
630, I would show them how to make a mean, authentic guacamole. 815, I could teach them violin and drums.
Oh, see, now that is definitely a talent.
847, I would show them white guy dancing.
Okay, that is also not a talent.
Well, there'd have to be like an alien disc jockey who plays Bob Seger's old-time rock and roll. And then all the white people would get up, you get a little overbite going, and then it gets dangerous when the hands go over the head. And that's when it starts to get bad.
And start doing the Macarena. Oh, see, now the aliens need to get like an engineer or a doctor or an architect. Somebody.
Meh.
Maybe they have one.
Maybe we need to dumb up their planet. Maybe they just need to take, you know, show business people.
Would you show them an alien movie like Aliens?
Oh, would you show the aliens Alien?
Yeah.
Would you? They'd probably laugh. It'd probably be a comedy to them. They go, we don't have that in our stomachs.
I'd show them Independence Day so they know what we're capable of.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
262, I demonstrate to aliens how to check the oil level on a car and play catch with a football and baseball. I go, well, things are slow on your planet. 847, I would teach the aliens the art of mastering the crescendo on the North America. I can't finish this.
Really? I want to know where it goes now. Tell me in the commercial break.
I'll read it to you then. 773, teach them how to say hell no to Brussels sprouts. Okay, so there you go.
Roasted Brussels sprouts are good. Roasted.
312, what's the number here today?
The
yeah,
number,
what's the number? When people want to text in. Is it
981-7200? That number?
Does it change every day?
981-7200.
It's only my second week here. Does
today's
it change?
Tuesday. It was the same yesterday. It'll be the same probably tomorrow.
Let me just take you inside my head for a second because there's plenty of room. I paused a second and a half, which was just long enough for me to lose my place in the show, which is why I couldn't remember the phone number.
Do you know sometimes I can't remember like my zip code or something? Like, you ever have just a brain freeze like that? And then I think, oh my goodness, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, all the time.
I can't remember my phone number ever.
And sometimes it gets worse being on the morning show too, G.
Great, thanks. You guys are really giving me a lot to look forward
tired.
To.
I mean, tired does it.
Right. You'll be here trying to think of a word, like a common word, and you won't be able to do it.
Oh, good thing they're not paying me to talk.
No, because that would ruin everything.
Form sentences.
Jeffrey Epstein update coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So there's a concern now that Jeffrey Epstein case is just going to be flat dismissed and none of the victims will be able to get their justice served for them, along with the hope of some civil suits and settlements to whatever money Epstein has. That, according to Pat Brady yesterday on this show and other legal experts, is not the case, because one of the people that is most key now is his buddy, Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell is the daughter of a British publishing magnate who died suspiciously in the early 90s. And she started hanging out in 1991 after her father's accidental death slash murder, depending on who you believe. Ghislaine Maxwell was in country here, running away from the UK, and started hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. And they were supposedly boyfriend and girlfriend for a period of time. Epstein was described in Palm Beach as very odd, didn't go out much. But Maxwell is always described as vivacious, warm, and effusive. Her family knew Trump before Epstein arrived on the scene. And she continued to socialize with people like Chelsea Clinton after Epstein had actually been jailed the first time on sex offenses. She was friends with the Clintons. She was friends with the Trumps. She was friends with many rich and powerful people, including Prince Andrew. But Ghislaine was a contact between Epstein and Clinton, a person familiar with the relationship said. Lawyers for her did not respond to requests for comments. A spokesman for Clinton disputed the idea that Chelsea and she were ever close. Trump's ties to Maxwell and her late father were mostly money related. In the 1980s, Trump and Robert Maxwell, the Czech-born owner of London's Daily Mirror, used to run into each other on the Manhattan party circuit where Donald was trying to always get noticed. The point of all of this being, Maxwell is now the person who seems to have been at Epstein's side for all of this. And after no longer being his girlfriend, she was the one that would help procure girls for him to abuse, as the story goes. Now, that's not been proven, but multiple reports, good, amazing reporting by the woman from the Miami Herald who continues on this. None of this would happen without her. Ghislaine Maxwell is the key to all this. And she now is probably number one in the gun sights of the FBI and everybody else involved, because she knows the answers to questions that have to be asked and answered. So, look, I can't speak to, look, if you're a grown man and you have a predilection for 15-year-olds, I can't speak to whatever miswiring you have in your head. All I can tell you is, in a civilized society, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. There's no gray area here. And as that little weasel attorney, Alan Dershowitz, is trying to change the age of consent argument, there's suspicion the reason he's pushing that so hard is because he was involved in this as well.
Well, yeah, one of Epstein's accusers have allegedly said that she was also abused by him as well.
And we're not just talking about 15-year-olds who are drugged or mistakenly consent to sex. That's all bad. We're talking about 15-year-olds that were raped while other people watched. It's a very bad story, and it's not going away because Epstein killed himself or was murdered. Again, we don't know the end of that story either. All right, we'll come back. We have the 8 o'clock news coming up. Tom Dreesen will join us in a few minutes. Also, Dean's up with more on entertainment after the news, which is next on the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
More on entertainment exclusive Well, presentation, if you will, of Moron Enterprises, part of Moron Incorporated. And, of course, you need a couple of morons, and that's you and me, Dean.
You'd think with so many morons on TV and radio that this feature would be duplicated, but nope.
Nope. Nobody seems to want to take the title from us.
Nobody seems to put the capital M in moron like we do.
Well, we've classed up the joint with G here, and then Dave is here.
We'll bring her up to our level soon.
And then Super Joe and Viv and Steve and Mary are here, and we brought in my friend, and yours, by the way, legend Tom Dreesen, who is going to hang out with the band.
Is he here now?
Yeah, he's here right now.
Tom Dreesen?
Yes.
My friend, how are you?
I'm doing terrific, and the word legend goes when you get real old. They can't think of anything else to call you when you get old.
That's not true.
We have a legend here just because you survived this long.
No. Survivalist. Yeah. Here's a show business survivor. That's a totally different intro. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I just got in town a couple days ago.
What are you doing in town?
A whole lot of things. That's not
corporate stuff?
Correct. No, I'm doing my one-man show, An Evening of Laughter and Stories of Sinatra and Valparaiso, this weekend at the Memorial Opera House.
Done that house before, haven't you?
No, it's over 100 and something years old, and they say there's not a bad seat in the house, and it's just, I'm really looking forward to it.
Dean did his send in the clown show there.
I did.
Did you really, Dean?
I did, in full clown makeup. A lot of people don't know that Tom is quite the opera singer also.
Yes, and we have a bad opera story coming up here in Moron Entertainment in a few minutes.
Terrible.
What else are you doing this week?
I'm doing that. Then I'm doing Joe Madden's golf tournament Monday.
Okay.
Out in Bryn Mawr. I'm going to do that. And
now, you're a lifelong Cubs guy.
Yeah.
Is he going to make the cut? It's amazing to me that the Cubs won the World Series 3 years ago, and there's active blood in the water to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, that's the game. As the Godfather said, this is the life we chose.
Right?
I mean, in show business, too. Show business is the hottest thing in the world.
Baseball
one day,
is
the next
show
day,
business.
You can't get anybody to answer your calls.
Right.
Because your show's off the air, you're not hot anymore, and you know, guys like Steve Cochran and Dean Richards won't pick up your phone anymore.
Right.
G will pretend, I knew you, but I didn't know you that well.
Well, Dean, Tommy doesn't know that I'm working on my own memoir now, which is called How I Scratched and Clawed My Way to the Middle and Stayed There.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. When it's finished, it's going to be good.
Hey, Dean, I'm writing a book. I sound like I'm plugging in, but I'm writing a book that will be done, the publisher, it'll be done before Father's Day next year. And so I'll be visiting you, Dean.
What's it about?
It's called Still Standing After All These Years.
Mm-hmm.
This is my 50th
About your history
year.
In stand-up?
It's my 50th year in show business.
Wow.
50 years ago, I went on stage in September 1969 for the first time. And I've been doing it ever
since. What were you doing? I forgot the story. You were working where then? When somebody... You were at a bar.
Tim Reed and I were America's first black and white
company. Yeah, but you were at a bar and somebody said it wasn't like an amateur night or an open mic night or something?
No. Tim and I were in the JCs and we wrote a drug education program.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
It was a drug abuse. And one day a little eighth grade girl said, you guys are funny. You ought to become a comedy team.
50 years and look at that head of hair.
Look how good. Hey, careful.
That's amazing.
All of the hair.
That's amazing. Not amazing that Tom has survived this much time, just that when you put it in that context of 50 years, it's like, where does the time go?
Yeah, amen to that.
I'm gonna tell you this, that September 8th,
okay.
The night I got a laugh was a Friday night, the first laugh I ever got on stage, and it was almost like one of those B movies where the dark clouds open up and the sun bursts.
Yeah, you get hit by lightning.
Yeah, my whole being went, oh my God.
This is what I meant to do.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. I couldn't sleep all that night. It was a Friday night. I went to church the next morning, Ascension Church in Harvey. I got on my knees and I prayed. There's nobody there. There was no service there on a Saturday morning. And I said, God, I know what I want to do. I want to be a stand-up comedian. If you let me make my living as a stand-up comedian, I'm doing all these promises. I'll
sure.
do charity work and everything. That was 50 years ago, September 8th, I'm going back to Ascension Church, 10:30
cool.
Mass, and I'm going to give a sermon on the power of prayer.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Ascension and Harvard.
That's goosebump stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Remind people, Dean, you know this. In 1969, stand-up comedy didn't look like it looks today.
Oh, my God.
There weren't comedy clubs.
None.
There wasn't YouTube. If you wanted to make it, you generally had to go to a bar and tell jokes to people who had no interest in why you were up there.
Well, in 1969, you know, the, first of all, we work nightclubs. You were trying to work your way in this city.
Yeah, but you had to get to the nightclubs.
Get to the nightclubs.
Like Mr.
Yeah.
Kelly's or someplace.
That was,
you, right?
That was the epitome of success in Chicago, Dean.
Mr. Kelly.
When you got there. Tim Reed and I were America's first black and white comedy team, and America wasn't ready for us. The Vietnam War was raging. I just got out of the service. Tim got out of college. The African Americans were rioting in every major city in America, including Harvey, had the largest riot of all. In the middle of all of this, we're just trying to make people laugh. And there was no place to work, so you had to get up on stage anywhere you could. You know, I knew comedians in those days that joined AA just to get the stage time. They, they didn't have a drinking problem. You know.
But hi, my name is Steve, and I'm a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah. We did 11 prisons in 1 year. We did the county jail several times. Anywhere we could get stage
time. I think that's the greatest lesson of all for anybody. It's reps.
Yeah.
You get up every chance you can.
Absolutely.
You go tell jokes every chance you can. You go right every chance you can. That's the only way you get better.
You know what saved us as a comedy team? The Playboy circuit when we have put us on.
Oh, doing the clubs?
Oh, my God.
He looked good in those bunny ears.
Tom gave Steve Martin his first set of bunny ears. Yeah. But I didn't know that. So you guys did all the clubs.
17 Playboy clubs in America.
Wow.
And two
I didn't
resorts.
Know that.
There was a Great Gorge in Lake Geneva.
Yeah.
But when you did those, you did five shows a night. One in the penthouse, you go upstairs to the playroom. Then the penthouse. Our timing.
The playroom.
Yeah, the playroom and the penthouse, yeah.
What wouldn't work today? The playroom. How was Hugh Hefner? What kind of guy was he?
He was distant. We would go to parties at the mansion sometimes, and he was, you know, a nice guy, real funny guy, an intellect, you know.
Because Dean's gotten into a new thing where he wears pajamas all day at Channel 9.
and smoke a pipe.
Right.
Perfect.
A lot of people don't know that about Dean.
Yeah, but, you know, there was at the parties at the mansion, I did not do drugs. I never did drugs. I never did cocaine. You know, I was very anti-drug. I lectured on drugs at grade school children. But there was a certain time of the night, if you wanted to stay, you know, at a certain time you'd leave. Because after like 2 o'clock in the morning, everything goes, you know.
Right.
And so I would always tiptoe out of there around that time.
You know, Dean, you don't know this either, but when I met Tommy, I was a lifeguard at the Grotto. Basically what that meant was I needed to guard him from doing something that would end his life. So, Dean, did you ever go to the Playboy Mansion?
I never did.
I was there once.
Not even on the West Coast?
Nope.
Dean, no?
Nope.
I was there once when it was about to turn into a museum. It wasn't quite there yet, but it wasn't like the old days. You know, he was there all the time. It was Bill Zemme.
Yeah, was he?
Zemme was there all the time because he wrote the book about half, you know, the way you wear your hat about Sinatra.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're in that book.
Yeah.
You're ready for that book.
I gave Bill a lot of information, of which he gave me credit for one line, I think, or something like that.
He's the greatest.
He's a good guy. He's a terrific guy.
We come back. I have many questions for you, basically about your entire life, but I'm glad you're hanging out today.
I'm happy to be here.
And, Dean, we have many things to talk about. This Placido Domingo story, a friend story. I can't believe we're at a point, Dean, where Drake getting a tattoo is a story, but apparently it is.
It's Beatle fans are furious at Drake for a tattoo that he got put on his forearm.
All right, we'll find out about that. How many tattoos does Larry and Robin have?
Between them of 57.
57 currently, okay.
57. 56 on Robin and 1 on Larry.
Right on Robin's left forearm.
You know, I'm not allowed to discuss locations.
On her left forearm, though, is that really prominent anchor, you know, for when she visited the Navy boys.
Get it?
Diana, the musical. Oh, we got a bunch of stuff we'll hit when we come back.
You'll be calling his name.
More on entertainment continues with our roster of stories. By the way, Tom Dreesen and Dean, today's text question, if aliens came down to Earth and kidnapped you, what would you bring to their culture? I would be resident smartass, but I would open for Tom. Yeah. Dean, what do you have for the aliens?
I would bring the image of Bozo the Clown to them and the grand prize game.
I would think you'd barbecue.
They might enjoy barbecue, but I'd be too afraid that I might be the entree.
Yeah. I would bring them a book on the history of Harvey, Illinois, and an album of Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
Because Sinatra, universal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those Martians are punks.
Placido Domingo, what's going on?
Accusations this morning from many women that he sexually harassed them, dating back as far as the 1980s. Some of the women in the accusations that are out this morning say that he dangled jobs in front of them and would punish them if they refused his advances. Others are saying that they constantly witnessed him pursuing younger women, saying and doing inappropriate things in front of other people. Placido Domingo is 78 years old now. He's the director of the Los Angeles Opera, and he has issued a statement saying that the allegations from these unnamed individuals dating back as many as 30 years are deeply troubling and as presented inaccurate.
As presented inaccurate means, well, that's not entirely what happened.
I would guess so, but yeah, right. This is going to be a big story, so we're going to keep an eye on it.
I mentioned earlier in the show, I love Friends. I think it was one of the best written sitcoms ever, especially the last five seasons. But I don't know that I need to go to the movie theater to see it. I've seen every episode.
You know, this seems to be a generational thing. I said the same thing, and all the millennials around the office were like, oh, I would totally go and watch.
See?
Go and see
kids.
Friends on big screen. I guess it's because it's, you know, a beloved show to them that they grew up with, first on NBC, starting in 1994 to 2004. It's been in reruns ever since. It's one of the most streamed television series of all time. And what they're going to do on two nights in September and one night in October, they're going to show four episodes each night, so a total of 12 episodes on big screen, some previously unseen footage, some interviews, presumably with the stars of the show. And I guess, you know, they're going to see how it goes to see if people will go and spend money to go to a theater to see on a really big screen shows that they can see on fairly big screen.
And is that Friends reunion, does that have any life? Because Jennifer Aniston was talking about that.
Nope. David Schwimmer has said there's no way it's going to happen, and others in the cast say there's no way it's going to happen. Jennifer Aniston's been kind of toying back and forth that it might, but it sure doesn't seem like you got to get all of them on the, you know, on page to do it.
Matthew Perry still seems like he's got some personal issues.
Yeah.
You know, he's 50 years old. He's got to iron that out. And Schwimmer, you know, remember Stripes, Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the sergeant sits down, Sergeant Hulka? Every time I see Schwimmer, I just want to go, lighten up, Francis. Enjoy your life a little bit. Is he lightened up at all?
I've always found him to be very nice.
Very good. That's not a nice thing. It's have fun.
Not overly serious. Yeah, I don't think he takes himself too seriously.
All right, well, that's good to hear.
He likes to direct. He likes to do certain things. He doesn't like to look backwards, as you know, a lot of backwards do. To him, Friends is something that he did in the past and he wants to move on from it. Others appreciate what brought them to the table in the first place, you know, and embrace it. And I wouldn't say that he's hostile about it, but he's done with it.
Well, he gets to make that choice. But anybody that doesn't want to talk about what they're most famous for, miss the memo.
I mean, he's not so done with it that he doesn't collect his residual checks, right?
That is
true.
He
still gets money from it.
He does still collect residual checks. But, you know, it's like Steve.
When I bring up Drop Dead Fred.
Steve doesn't like to talk about it.
Where I played waiter number two. You mean when I keep bringing that up?
Steve is, you bring up grumpy old men. Steve gets very uncomfortable. He doesn't like to talk about it.
I want to move on to the infomercials I'm working on now.
Right.
Dean, I had no idea that he had such a storied acting career.
Oh, Steve is quite the thespian.
Yeah, I was king of the parts that didn't matter.
Yep.
Drake got a Beatles tattoo. Why is that, Beth?
So Drake on the Billboard Hot 100 charts over this summer, Drake has surpassed the Beatles on a number of records that they've held for decades since the mid '60s. Drake has passed them up. I don't even have the categories. There's five or six different categories in which he beat them. So he got a tattoo on his arm of the Beatles. It kind of looks like the Beatles walking across the street on the Abbey Road album cover.
Okay.
But there's also a little tattoo of Drake waving goodbye at them. Like, see you guys, I'm the new champion in town. So, congratulations.
Is it to be a jerk, or is it just...
Well, he's not saying I did this to be a jerk, but... The Drake fans are saying it's bold. He's the new king of the charts, and Beatle fans are going, you can take that new level for yourself, but you don't have to be disrespectful about it.
So I don't know him. Is he a good guy? Is he a normal guy?
I've never talked to Drake.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually think you've superseded the Beatles, you also missed the memo.
Well, he did supersede them on the charts.
Statistically, yeah. You know, it's like saying you're better than Babe Ruth.
But I've never met a musician yet that even though they did surpass somebody at whatever the level, winning Grammy Awards, winning different things, they're always respectful of the people who came before them. So, I don't know. If you want to take this as a slap to the Beatles, he did also slay. He posted a picture of the tattoo and said, "I have more slaps than the Beatles." I guess that means more accolades toward the Beatles. So
yeah.
Some people are taking that as being offensive.
Sponsored by Ravinia, we continue to get one more here. Diana the Musical
is a musical that's been running at the La Jolla Playhouse in La Jolla, California. They do a lot of out-of-town tryouts there before they go to Broadway. And this musical about the life of Princess Diana, leading up to her marriage to Prince Charles, during the marriage of Prince Charles, the separation, has been running extremely successfully there and will be going to Broadway next March.
I think the show-stopping song is, "Have you seen the bimbo my husband is sleeping with?"
There is an actress who plays Camilla in that. All the actors that are in the La Jolla production will be going to New York, except for the role of Queen Elizabeth that will be played by Steve Cochran.
This is so disturbing that this has come to the stage.
He's back.
Thespian. He's a thespian.
Hey, Tommy, before Dean goes, we have a question we've always wondered about. David Letterman is one of your best friends. Letterman considers you his greatest resource in life, calls you with personal stuff all the time. What is the friggin' deal with that beard?
Well, he wants to be Santa Claus at Macy's this year.
Is that it? Or Santa Claus's friend who's so down on his luck?
He called me the other day, and we talked for like 2 hours. Used to we talk for 5 minutes when he had the show. Now he's got time. So we talked for like 2 hours, but he said something to me. He said, "You know, I keep telling everybody, and you do too, that we met out in front of the Comedy Store when I came off stage one night. He was brand new out there, and he said, 'Gee, I thought you were very funny, Mr. Dreesen, you know.' So he said, 'You always do that.' I don't want to do that anymore." I said, "Let's start telling people that you came off stage, and I had stolen a joke from you, and you beat the hell out of me." And I said, "Now, why would we tell?" He said, "Because it's a better story."
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I miss Dave.
That's pretty funny. Have you asked him about the beard?
Yeah, he just wanted to grow it because he hadn't grown one in years. He wanted to grow it, but I think he let it grow a little bit too long. But he's trimmed it recently. We go to dinner every time he comes to L.A. Johnny Witherspoon, me, Tim Thomerson, and Dave. You know, the guys we all started out with.
Sure.
And we do all those. Did you remember that night? Did you remember that night?
Sure. Comedy Store stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What does Dave order? What does he eat when you guys?
And how much of it ends up in his beard?
Yeah. No. he's a hearty eater, and he'll lots of, if we go to an Italian restaurant, he'll rely on me. He'll say, "What do you think is good here?" You know. But he likes exotic foods, and I don't. I'm a simple, you know, spaghetti.
Meat and potatoes and pasta, baby.
He made a bet with me when Indianapolis played the Bears. He said, "Dinner on the other person," and Indianapolis beat the Bears, if you remember back in the Super Bowl. So he said, "Okay, we'll go to dinner in a place in Chicago," and he named a place I never heard of. And I said, I asked Steve Lombardo from Gibson's, "You ever hear of this restaurant?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, Tommy. Who are you taking?" And I said, "Letterman, and I owe him a dinner." He said, "It'll cost you around $1,500 or $2,000. I said, "Are you serious?" The chef comes to your table, there's only four tables, one of those. Dean, you probably know what
is
I'm talking about.
Alinea?
It might have been, I think that one closed down, there's another one now.
Alinea,
You may have been talking about Grace. Grace closed down.
It might have been. I told Dave, "I'm talking Burger King. We ain't talking."
Right? I'll see you at the drive-thru, Letterman.
You ever hear of Tafano's? You can get a delicious egg parm.
I love Tafano's. That's my favorite place to go.
Sponsored by Ravinia. You've been listening to More on Entertainment. Thank you, Dean.
Yep.
All right. More with Tommy in a second. We haven't even gotten to some cool Sinatra audio, and I want to ask you about those days, too. Tommy's in town all week, and if you see him, don't ask him for money. Headlines are next on 720 WGN.
To the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual.
Tommy Dreesen, do you recognize that voice, Tommy? Is that someone familiar?
That's the most soothing voice in the world.
I could rock you to sleep with that, couldn't I?
I'm in the car sometimes, and I'll put him on, and I just forget how good he really, really was.
You know the greatest thing that can happen to you in Chicago in the summertime? is to be driving on Lakeshore Drive, hopefully in a convertible. But if you're not in a convertible, with your windows down in summer breeze on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Summer wind.
Summer wind, yeah. Everybody, people ask me all the time, all around the country, what is your favorite Sinatra song? And I said, it depends what mood I'm in.
Sure.
You know, because his music is like the soundtrack of your life. You know, you fall in love with his music. When somebody loves you, it's no good on you. Know,
sure.
You get married to his music.
You know. I was thinking about you the other day, because it's 2:45 and there's nobody in the place but you and me. And you told me a great story amongst a million great stories. But you're in Vegas. Frank didn't really start his day until, what, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon? Yeah. And he always wanted to run late, and he wanted his guys to run with him.
Yeah.
And you had a tee time.
Yeah.
And if I have the story right, you said, Frank, I got to go. A friend of mine died. You remember the story? And Frank said, oh, my God, Tommy, I'm sorry. Who was it?
I'll tell you, you're getting this a little bit mixed up.
All right, tell me.
We were in Las Vegas. We were doing one-nighters all over the country. We flew in the Desert Inn and opened the Desert Inn, did 2 shows, and anyhow... He stayed up till dawn every night, and he wanted you to stay up with him. He wanted his friends till dawn. But I wanted to play golf in the morning. So it's 4:30 in the morning, and he's going strong.
Oh, it's 4:30.
Oh, he's going strong. Wow. We did 2 shows. He's going strong. There's about 5 or 6 guys in stories, and I finally had it. I got up, and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to bed. He said, what for? I said, I got to get up early in the morning and go to the cemetery and visit those guys. He said, what guys? I said, all those guys who died trying to stay with you every night. He laughed. He said, go to bed. And he made me tell that story all the time.
You know, the other quote I've been attributing to you, because it's your story and it's a good one, is Clint Eastwood's take on getting old.
And Toby Keith ended up writing a song about it. Last year, I was playing golf with Clint and Toby up in Clint's golf tournament. And Toby said to me, how does Clint do it? Right now, he's 89 years old. Clint is in Georgia wrapping up a film. He's directing a film in Georgia. He's 89 years old. And I once said to Clint, how do you do this? How do you do it? He said, I don't let the old man in. And I never forgot that line. And so Toby said to me at the golf tournament, geez, how does Clint do it? I said, he's told me something, Toby, once. He said, I don't let the old man in. I said, you're a writer. You know, you're a
songwriter. That is a song.
Well, in the movie The Mule, that's the end of the movie.
Is that right?
He wrote, don't let the old man in. You should download it.
I should, Jack, because I never saw The Mule.
Oh, I saw it. It was good.
I love that take on life, though. It's like everybody's got aches and pains.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning, you just tell the old man, you ain't welcome here.
Yeah. And I do it every day.
I think that must be so interesting for Clint, because he can look at the body of his work and actually see himself at different points in time.
He can watch himself get older.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Well, he also said, too, a lot of people can't, in Hollywood especially, do not know how to grow old gracefully. And he does. You know, he's a good friend.
He's not taking a lot of Botox, is that what you're saying?
No, he didn't believe in any of that stuff. You know.
Tom Dreesen, Saturday night, going to be doing his one-man show, An Evening of Laughter and Stories of Sinatra. It's the Memorial Opera House in Valpo. Tickets for that probably from the Opera House, I would guess.
Yeah, the number's there, but they're getting real close to sold out. To be honest with you, it's 380 seats, and so if anybody does want to go, you'll have a good... I do a lot of stand-up comedy, but I also segue to a bar, and all the lights go down low, and Frank Sinatra comes on the screen singing your song. It's 2:45. There's no one in the place. I let that mood set in when he gets to the chorus, make it one for my baby.
Yeah.
The light goes off and the spotlight hits me. I'm in a bar and I've come home.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And well done.
And I tell the audience, the first time I heard that voice, I was 8 years old, shining shoes in a bar in Harvey, Illinois, and he was on the jukebox. Then I take the audience from that little boy from Harvey, Illinois, hearing Sinatra on the jukebox, the one day carrying his coffin out of a church in Beverly Hills, California.
What's the best piece of advice he ever gave you?
Frank?
Yeah. I'm guessing he gave you advice. You were like a son to him.
Well, he told me, stay away from the Steve Cochran show, but...
But you didn't listen to that. How about the one you listened to?
He gave me advice throughout my whole... When I was going through a divorce, he said to me, I can't give you any advice on marriage, Tommy, but I can give you advice on divorce. Stay friends with her. Not for you, not for her, for those children. And he did that. In his life, he said, stay friends with her. That was real good advice that he gave me. He said,
that is great advice.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, he was so generous, it's hard to describe what he would do for other people. But I think I told you the story. There was a time we were coming out of the Waldorf Astoria in a hurry, rushing to a gig, and the limo was waiting out there. And as we were rushing out the back door of the Waldorf Astoria, this woman jumped out of the doorway, and the bellman told me she had been there for 5 hours hiding. She came rushing out. She said, Mr. Sinatra, please, Mr. Sinatra, please. And we were getting in the limo, and the security was holding her back. Mr. Sinatra, please. And finally, he turned around, and he said, what is it? She said, please, my husband is home sick. sick, terribly sick. If I could get an autograph from you, it would mean the world to him. He said, sure. He walked back. He's signing the autograph, and she said, oh, what beautiful cufflinks. They were $2,000 cufflinks. I know where you got them at. He said, thank you. And he signed the autograph, and he took the cufflinks off, and he gave them to her. He said, give these to your husband. She said, no, I don't want them, no. Wow. I just was admiring him. He said, no, I want your husband to have those. Wow. We get in the limo, and I said to him, Frank, that was beautiful, but why did you do that? He said, Tommy, if you possess something that you can't give away, then you don't possess it. It possesses you.
But where did he get that knowledge? He grew up as a poor kid. He had to hang around some real tough guys to get his start. Who taught him?
I don't know, but I really do believe that he read a book called The Magnificent Obsession by Lloyd C. Douglas. It later became a movie. Okay. Its predecessor was a book called Dr. Hudson's Secret Journal. Okay. In it is the secret of success. If you want to be successful in any endeavor, whatever you do, once you ask your master, say, gee, I'd like to be a comedian or whatever it is, then you must keep your eyes and ears open for his less fortunate children and help them along their journey.
Sure.
And the way you help them is for them not to know it. If they know it, you have to swear them to secrecy. They say, I'll do this for you, Steve, but you must not tell anybody. And it was way before the movie Pay It Forward came out.
Yeah, because you don't make it about you. You make it about doing the right thing.
Exactly. And there's something in the Bible about that, about tooting your horn in front of the temples or something like that. And Frank not only talked that talk, he walked that talk.
Tommy's coming back twice in September. He's going to do the keynote at the Mass at Ascension Church, and that story you told us at the top, Harvey Days in Crete on September 7th, and then just a few days later, your Tom Jason and Comedians Golf Tournament, and I'll be parking cars at that. And then you're doing theater on the lake for the MS Society on September 18th. TomDreesen.com, is that the best place for people to go to keep in touch with your schedule?
Yeah, if they want to keep in touch with me, TomDreesen.com. Yeah, okay. That's how G and I stay in touch for all these years.
That's exactly right. We're going to smile on her face. Can you hang around a second?
I love it.
All right, more coming up with Tom Dreesen. The text question of the day, if the aliens showed up and took you away, what would you give to them? 224, I'd show them a mountain of debt. 312, show them how to smoke a joint. 708, I teach them to play pinball or this. 815, this has got a lot of these, G, in various flavors. Mm-hmm. I would take them to our leader and they would never come back. So, check out the latest Steve Cochran podcast. Go to WGNRadio.com/Cochran. Use the WGN Radio app. We had very cool guests last week. We do all the time. But Joe and Renee Silberman each had parents that survived the Holocaust. Kind of a really moving conversation, but uplifting as well. And that's just one. WGNRadio.com/Cochran. And we are back after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
And that's Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10. This is number one.
It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me.
Still cool after all these years. I think he'd be 102 all or 3 now. Frank Sinatra. Tom Dreesen's here, and he's doing a show on Sunday.
Saturday.
So, well, he's doing a show Sunday, but that's at his house. and there's only a few tickets left. Anyway, give me one of your favorite Sinatra stories that maybe I don't know.
Wow. There's so many. A poignant story was on his 82nd birthday, we were all at the house, and he was... we weren't sure he was quite with us. He died 5 months later.
So he was in rough shape at that point.
Yeah, he was in rough shape. Okay. And sometimes we didn't seem like he was with us. But all of his friends were there, Gregory Peck and his wife, Veronique, and Kirk Douglas and his wife, Anne, and Robert Wagner, Jill St. John, Angie Dickinson, people like that. And we had dinner, and we're waiting for the cake to come in. And for his 82nd birthday, and he was off to the side, and he had a black woman named Vine who worked with him for 30 something years. She was helping him eat and everything, and we were all talking, making small talk, and somebody said, "Gee, where's the best place to live?" And Gregory Peck said, "Veronique and I have a villa in France, and we like it there. Robert Wagner, Joe St. John's, we have a place in Aspen, we like it." And Frank, with his head down in the corner, said, "The best place to live is where your friends are."
Wow.
And everybody turned around and looked at him and said, "Whoa, whoa!" And my point
the prophet speaks.
My point of that story is: here's a man who arguably the greatest show greatest career show business has ever known. Oscars, you know, Grammys, whatever. Amassed a fortune, you know, all the things. The greatest pop singer of all time. In the end, it wasn't about any of those things. It was about relationships. And that's the last lesson that they ever taught me.
Well, you think about it, because you get to a point in your life, no matter how much money or power you have, and at the end of your life, we're all equal.
Yeah.
You get your turn. When your turn's up, it's up.
So you, if you save all your money and go to some island in Spain or somewhere off of Spain, but the best place to live is where your friends are.
It's true.
It's where, you know, the, you know.
Well, you and I both have grandkids, yeah. And the greatest thing in the world is to be around the entire family, because you don't have it anymore. Yeah. And when it happens, it's rare and it's special. It's one of the reasons Thanksgiving is great, right? Because everybody's together.
Yeah. Well, I've always said that... The reason you have grandkids is because you didn't kill your kids when you should have.
You know? You know, the funniest thing to me, too, is I know you've gone through this as well. My son and daughter-in-law with these two beautiful kids, who I kind of talk about here a lot, they are rightfully concerned when I'm watching them. And and they have some specific instructions. And my son in particular, I just want to look at him and go, and yet you survived.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But you know what? It's the same thing. It's like, I'm leaving you with the most important thing to me. Don't screw it up. So
I love it. And you know, all my kids, I hug my kids since, hug them and kiss them. And,
yeah.
And my kids and my grandkids. It's just hard to explain how much they mean to me, you know. And G brought it up earlier when we were talking. I was on the road all the time, you know, and I suffer from that guilt. I lay awake at night sometimes thinking about those birthdays that I missed and that graduation.
It's tough.
And I'm out there trying to get the rent money and stuff like that. But they've forgiven me for that. And I apologize to them, I don't know how many times, and they'll go, oh, Dad, stop it.
When did you know you had made it to the point where everything was going to be okay? Like, was it Carson the first time?
You know, that's a question any entertainer you would ask, they would say, I still don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, I asked Sammy Davis Jr. one time, why do you work so hard? He said, because there's a garage mechanic in Cleveland just waiting to take my place.
And he could sing.
He could sing. But I knew, I'll tell you, I think when the first time I went to Las Vegas with Sammy Davis Jr., and I saw all those hotels with a singer and a comic on every marquee, I just felt like this is what I can do the rest of my life.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You don't, I don't know that people understand this. Gee, you're too young to get this. Dave, you're plenty old.
thank you.
But Dreesen was, if you think of the A-level comics now, you know, Jim Gaffigan, mm-hmm. and Brian Regan, all the guys that are filling theaters and bigger. Those guys get offered sitcoms. They get a chance to do different shows. You were getting offered everything. You were such a hit on Carson. You did Carson a million times.
61, yeah.
Yeah, you could have done anything you wanted in show business. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Sinatra's people, or maybe it was Frank, asked you specifically, go on the road with me. You never looked back.
I never, and I turned down more sitcoms than most comedians get offered in a lifetime.
Sure.
Because two things. Number one, I was flying with Frank Sinatra in his private jet all over the world, staying at his home six times a year, and to hear him say every night, Tommy Dreesen, come back and take another bow, Tommy.
Wait, do we got audio? Joe, play it for me when you're ready. Tell me when you're ready. Here's a little something you might remember.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Sinatra.
Tommy, come out and take another bow. Tom Dreesen, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. That's my man. My number one man.
Tommy's funny, isn't he? He's a marvelous guy, Tommy is. He's... Where is he? Take a bow, pal. There's a funny man. And a nice man.
That's got to be like your dad saying, you're a good hitter, kid. More Little League tomorrow. I mean, the admiration that Frank had for you.
Well, it's also like I was an altar boy, like serving mass for the Pope or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we had a great relationship. In the end, he was more like a father to me. But to me, if you said to me when I was growing up in Harvey, if you played a word association game, if you said baseball, I'd say the Cubs. If you said love, I'd say Mom.
Yeah.
If you said show business, I'd say Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Were you too loyal? I mean, do you ever regret that you didn't take some of those other gigs that could have catapulted you and made you the lead? Like,
no, because I have.
You could have been Hello Larry.
Oh yeah. By the way, I was up for that part. You know, McLean Stevenson.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just
picked that out of my air.
That was. I'll tell you a story about this some other time. But anyhow, in the end, all we have are memories. here I was touring with the greatest, to me, the greatest performer, that he said to me, you can grace the same stage as me. Mm-hmm. I didn't care what CBS, NBC, ABC, or the movies, anybody thought of me, that Frank's, I'm a live entertainer. That's what I do. That's my whole life.
Wow.
Performing live.
Starting when? What year? What year did you start with Frank?
1983.
So 83 through 07, 8?
No. Last time he sang on stage was 1996, February 1996.
Oh, I thought you guys worked through the 2000s. All right, so that's the craziest 13 years of your life.
Yeah. It was flying all over the world, 45, 50 cities a year. But at that time, also, I was playing golf on a Celebrity Players Tour.
Yeah.
Now, I've been an athlete all my life, but I'm a little guy, so I had to play harder than the other guys. I love football. I played football. I played basketball.
Sure.
I'm on a tour. The Celebrity Players Tour, where you had to be a 10 handicap or below. It was basketball, baseball, football, hockey, tennis, and show business people. So it was Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, sure. Mario Lemieux, John Elway, Dan Marino, Michael Jordan. Show business, it was me, Jack Wagner, Smokey Robinson.
And me, valet parking cars.
Yes. So if you would have said to me when I was a little boy, one day you're going to get into an arena and you're going to compete with the greatest athletes who ever lived in your lifetime, I'd have said, that's impossible. If somebody had said to me when I was on my hands and knees in a bar in Harvey, shining shoes, and Frank was on the jukebox, one day you're going to grace the same stage as Frank Sinatra. He's going to call you out to take a bow every night.
How about that?
And call you his. I mean, I would have said, that's not going to happen. And I was doing that. Christopher Morley, the author, once said, success is living the life you want. Mm-hmm. I was living the life I want. In answer to G's question, some nights I think when I'm in that airport and it's a 4-hour delay, I could have had a private jet.
Right. Or you could have been the guy that's mentioned in all the BuzzFeed stories about why did Tom Dreesen become Hello Larry and give up his career?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You are remembered because you're great, and you are remembered because you're still out there doing it. And I think Sinatra's proud of you.
One of a kind. It's when you tell your stories, I think in part you're an incredible storyteller because that wonderment is still in your spirit.
You love it. You absolutely love it.
I really do. It was a joy.
I told Tommy he needs to write another book after this one that's going to come out called I Gotta Write This Stuff Down Before I Forget It. Yeah. So we'll get you out of here in a second, Tommy. Okay. I know you're staying way over time here. I appreciate it.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words.
You know, I'm a big Billy Joel fan, and Billy is a huge Frank fan, but I remember talking to Billy Joel at one point, Tom Dreesen. I said, "What? There's got to be a song you're tired of singing." He goes, "I'm not going to lie to you." He said, "I get on stage some nights, and I could do without Just the Way You Are." But he said, "The people paid to come see me, and the least I could do for them is to sing the songs they want to hear." Yeah. Which I thought was a pretty cool perspective.
Well,
because there had to be songs Frank didn't want to sing anymore.
My Way. It was toward the end, especially. Because when he'd start singing My Way, the audience would burst into tears. And now the end is near. And though I face that final curtain.
And he's getting older.
And they would burst into tears. We love you, Frank, and all that. I always wanted Frank to do Billy Joel's song called And So It Goes.
Oh, it's a great
song. It's a saloon song. And I gave it to Frank. And I said he didn't want to record it anymore. But that song there, I just was pointing out I heard that song a dozen times, and one time I saw Frank Sinatra sing it, and I finally got what it meant.
Sure.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand, because that's what you do to me when you hold my hand.
Right.
You send me out there. When Frank sang it, I understood it.
Sure.
You know.
When you finish your set, normally what happens with a comedian, you finish your set, you go back to the green room, you talk to some people, you wait for somebody to tell you how great you are. and then you maybe you pay a little attention, maybe you don't. What was your favorite place to go after you got off stage?
Go change out of my tuxedo and go sit in the wings and watch Frank.
That's what I thought.
Oh, man, to watch him work his magic. And there were
free tickets every night, yeah. G. Never paid for Sinatra tickets.
Goodness.
And then you know, he when he would do My Way, especially, I always wanted to see how the audience reacted, toward the end especially, how they reacted to that song. That spotlight would hit him, and all the lights would go dark on the
stage.
Steve,
could you imagine having someone like Tom in your life that, like,
loves,
is paying attention noticing you and keeping your memory alive and is in awe of you and is a... That's unbelievable.
I was hoping Super Joe would be that for me, but it turns out he's not that interested.
But I mean, not very many people have a Tom Dreesen that
Well, but here's the thing. To have the talent you have to have and the respect you had for the guy that hired you, that's a very unique combination. There's a lot of guys who would go, yeah, boss, whatever you want, boss.
Yeah.
But the reason he loved you like a son, the reason you were asked to be one of the pallbearers is because you had a very special relationship with him. You weren't just the funny guy up front.
Yeah. Well, I felt that. I enjoyed being with him. He'd come and get me out of my bungalow when I stayed at his house, and we'd go riding around till 3:30, from 3:30 in the morning till dawn, and he would tell me stories about growing up in Hoboken, and I had a relationship with him that I didn't have with my own father, and
you think he may have been your dad in some form? You know what I mean? Served that purpose in some form.
There were times that I would go to him for advice.
Well, that divorce story you told, for instance.
He was really special, it's a once in a lifetime thing. It was rarefied air. I don't regret one second.
You miss him?
I miss him every single day of my life. And I hear his music, and it just reminds me of times riding around the car. One night riding around the car, he told me something very personal, something really personal that afterward he said, I should not have told you that. And I said, it's okay. It won't go any further than this car. He said, I know. He said, but I shouldn't have told you that. I said, well, look, it's not like we're strangers. You know, we're friends. And I don't know what made me do it. I went, Strangers in the Night, and he said, oh my God, if you're going to sing this song, get in key. So he goes, Strangers in the Night, and I go, Exchanging Glances. He said, Wandering in the Night.
Come on, you did a duet with Sinatra?
He would do a line, I'd do a line, and then we got out of the car. I pulled into his compound. We got out of the car, and I'm going back to the bungalow, and he'd give me like a little pat on the cheek. He's, good night, Tommy. And I'm going back to my bungalow, and thinking, if I went back to Harvey and all the guys that used to hang out in the bar until 2 o'clock in the morning, if I told them I was just singing Strangers in the Night, they'd go, get the hell out of here.
With Sinatra. Yeah.
But it happened, and I'll never forget it.
You got a million great memories.
As many times as you've mentioned Harvey in this interview, it's because he's never forgotten where he's come from.
Oh, no. You love this. You're a Chicago guy. You're always going to be a Chicago guy.
I know. Dennis Farina used to say, is there anybody in the world that doesn't know you're from Harvey? I'm like, but you know where I got that from? Jack Benny. When I met Jack Benny, Irv Cupson here in Chicago, I did a show, and he introduced me to Jack Benny. Jack Benny said to me, Tommy, the first time you do the Tonight Show, and that was the furthest thing from my mind in those days, he said, when you walk out there, he said, tell them about you. Tell them about your childhood. He said, you do 6 minutes of comedy, and then when you leave them, they say, gee, wasn't he funny, but you know, he went to Catholic school and blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, you left part of you. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Harvey, Illinois. He said, talk about Harvey. I said, well, you know, Chicago's a little more metropolitan. He said, there are more Harveys out there than there are Chicago's.
That's great advice.
He said, where am I from, Tom? I said, Waukegan, Mr. Benny. How do you know that? I said, because I heard you say this. You damn right. He said, because I'm the only comedian from Waukegan, Illinois, and you're the only kid from Harvey I ever heard of. You know?
How about that?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story, too.
Yeah.
You don't have any bad stories, though. Listen, it's an honor to be your friend, and I love seeing you. You know that. You got an open door here anytime. Walk-in privileges, as we like to call it. Tell everybody again what you're doing Saturday night.
Saturday night, I'm going to Valparaiso, Indiana, the Memorial Opera House. A lot of people from Harvey are coming there, and there's a few tickets left, I think. They told me it was almost sold out, so it's going to be. It's an intimate theater, and there's not a bad seat in the house. You'll have a lot of fun.
Yes, you will. It's Tom Dreesen. Always a pleasure to see you. He looks good, too, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know what his secret is? You know what his secret is? Not getting up at 4 in the morning.
I know, never, ever.
He goes to bed at 4. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's Super Joe playing with the band. 312-9170-200 is the number. And there's an interesting new approval ratings situation out when it comes for Donald Trump. Now, he still polls very well amongst likely Republican voters. 86% approve, 13% disapprove. 18 to 29-year-olds. Still highly approved, and then he's in the mid-80s throughout the rest. But among swing voters, obviously among Democrats, but among swing voters and amongst folks who voted for him last time who won't necessarily vote for him this time, he's in a lot of trouble. I mean, a whole lot of trouble. Illinois, no big surprise, Democrat state, not interested in Donald Trump. But his polls, again, his polls, it's not good. His Wisconsin number, he is down 14 points. Pennsylvania, he's down 8 points. This is from where he was when he was even money, his high water mark. North Carolina, it's pretty much break even. He's down 1. As I said here, he's down 20. All of these net approval minus disapproval, means that if this holds and if people show up to vote, well, there's not enough people in Texas. Texas, he has a 6-point approval over disapproval advantage. In some other states in the South, Louisiana, he's 18 points above disapproval. Mississippi, 22. Alabama, 26. And Florida, minus 1. Arizona, which normally isn't a swing state in this speech or this scenario, he's 7 points underwater in Arizona. So, you know, you get up north into Montana, he's almost break even. Wyoming, still solidly ahead of the number. North Dakota, he's back to break even. South Dakota, he's 10 points up. Nebraska, he's down 1. All of this means if the Democrats pick somebody that people like and want to go out and vote for, it's going to be very difficult for Donald Trump to get reelected. Of course, you have to put it all in the context of it's 14 months away.
And Democrats 15, are actually. Also known to screw up a lot.
Oh, big time. Yeah, big time. Big time, without a doubt. All right, let's do this at 9:47. We'll come back, get to the final text of the text question of the day. Quite popular text question today.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, nicely come. Nicely
I am honored.
In. Yes.
I am honored.
So if the aliens came down and kidnapped G, what would G bring to another planet? You said pasta carbonara?
Yes, because I'm pretty much worthless.
Stop it.
Seriously. Like, you think about, no, like, I wouldn't even know how to build a house or pitch a tent.
I got to believe if they can get here, they don't need your carpentry. They don't need to know how to build a house.
I was just thinking about, you know, these kids that we've had on today.
These kids today. Get the Steve Cochran podcast, and you will be able to see these kids and all the other kids and people we have on this show anytime. All right? 312-981-7200. Is the text number. Last crack for you to get in. What are the aliens going to take from you?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Rocket Man, burning out of you that fell upon. And I think it's going to be a long, long time. The doctor brings me around and get to find.
9:52, Bill and Wendy at 10. And we got a busy week. We won't get into what's on the show tomorrow because, frankly, I forgot. But I know the the week is very busy. Steve Grzanich, our resident spaceman, have you had any further thoughts on what the aliens would kidnap you for? I thought Steve was in the hallway. Nope, sorry. So Steve right now is being loaded into a rocket.
Yes.
Yes, and he'll be able to make that trip. Steve Bertrand, what would the aliens get from you?
What would I offer the aliens?
Yeah, the aliens kidnap you. What are you bringing?
Probably just a steady wisdom.
Oh, love it. Wow. Great answer.
It's good to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good to know Bertrand is there for the rest of us on planet whatever.
Actually, for the aliens more than the rest of you.
That's probably true, yeah. 630, I'd bring the best homemade peanut butter cookies.
Oh.
Oh, you know what? If Sandberg made those super thin chocolate chip cookies for the aliens.
Ooh, those cookies, you know, they're so delicious because it's like the edge of the cookie, but it's the entire cookie. It's the edge of the cookie.
All crunchy.
Yeah, it's basically butter with chocolate chips. Yes. Is that kind of what we're doing there?
Like chewy. Crunchy wad of butter.
Yes, chewy and crunchy all at once. You know, that can be a thing.
Basically just trying to buy these aliens off with food and drink.
Yeah. Yeah, that without question. 847 texter, actually an 815 texter says, I teach them the art of sidestepping an argument of how to get out of trouble with your wife.
Oh, someone's in trouble with their wife then, I
apparently
think.
Apparently so. Contrary to that, 630, I'd give them my wife. What are you, Henny Youngman?
Oh my goodness. They want to take that answer back.
847 texter says, I don't know what the aliens will get from me, but I got a pretty good idea what they're going to look for with that probe.
Oh, that's going to be a rough one.
Speaking of these, 309, I'd give them condoms because I'm tired of reproducing with aliens. Apparently, this person's been very busy.
Wow,
very,
they've very been busy. Abducted before.
219 says, I'd give them moron entertainment because I'm tired of you two. That'd be Dean and I every morning, 8:10, 8:20. And again, 312-981-7200. I would give them me. Oh, isn't that nice? That's sweet. That's very sweet. Egomaniacal, but very sweet. Oh, I teach them to play the guitar. You texters are great. Filling in the blanks.
I want to know what they're going to give us. You know, we need a lot of things, like, you know, cure for cancer, cure for old age.
That would be cool if the aliens came down and cured all the ills that we have. But then what would we have to whine about?
Well, that's true.
Well, we would probably kill them or destroy them before they could give us this gift.
Right. We'd knock them off.
We would just assume they're here to destroy us.
Hey! What are you guys doing here? Shoot them now. And then they have this secret to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
And really, you're asking what we would have to whine about? We would find something, Steve.
There's no question. In America 2019, you bet we would. Did you guys see Blagojevich's video and photos that popped up last night in the news?
Oh, him running around with shirtless in the prison?
Dude's been working out.
Well, that's what happens. You don't have a lot going on in prison, right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets fit.
Got to work on the prison shorts, however.
How old is Rod? 60? 61? 62? Got to be. He's walking around. He's ripped. He's cut.
I just wonder if this time has changed him as a person. Made him more self-reflective.
You know, I would think no. I would think you get... He's 62, by the way. I think you would get Rod back, and he would still be quoting Lincoln, and he would still be telling you none of this was his fault. It's hard to believe he's already done half that sentence. And honestly, I don't understand Senator Durbin's position on it. He's fully entitled to say, I think the sentence was harsh. But why Durbin is working for a potential pardon by the president. Pat Brady taught us this yesterday. A commutation of a sentence means you're still guilty. They're just saying your sentence is over. A pardon means we're going to wipe it off the books. And what Trump does or doesn't do remains to be seen.
There's a lot of constituents here in that feel that he's been in prison too long, and the sentence is too long. So there's still supporters.
Every time everybody makes the argument that it's an unfair sentence because other people who have done more have been sentenced for less, I don't care. They weren't the governor. And part of the reason we're in the mess we're in now is we stopped holding elected officials to the high standards we should hold them to. That's how Mitch McConnell is still employed. So Donald Trump got to be president. Standards matter. You know, I mean, I would like to have heard Senator Durbin say, I personally believe that the sentence was harsh, but I stand by what the judge decided because he had his day in court. That would seem to be a more fair and reasonable answer. I'll tell you what, Joe, let's take our last break here. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. 630, if I got kidnapped by aliens, I'd give them social welfare assistance. Maybe they need some help on their planet. 630, I'd give them bacon.
You'd win them over then.
We got a million people who offered up Trump. And then 630, if I get kidnapped by aliens, I'm bringing Steve Cochran. That way, we're both coming back.
That's pretty good.
All right, so aliens kidnapping you, Wendy, what are you doing for them? Not that. I mean, what are you doing for them other than that?
I'm not answering.
Sure.
I'd give him a mani-pedi.
Ooh.
An alien mani-pedi.
Mm-hmm. That would make them happy.
What do you mean, like a Texas gift? Rangers?
Would it be like a gift certificate? Like
no, I'd do it myself.
Wow.
Bill?
Laffy Taffy.
Oh, Laffy Taffy's good. And you know what? The universe is Laffy Taffy free except for this planet. We are the number one universal producers of Laffy Taffy.
That's crazy, but true.
I'm saying. What are you guys doing today?
Did you see the videotape with Chris Cuomo?
Yeah, losing his mind?
Yes. So we'll dissect that tape a little bit.
Donald Trump is very upset with Chris Cuomo.
Is he?
Says he's crazy.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be allowed to own a gun.
Oh.
I'm just glad to see the president working on the important stuff.
Oh.
He also retweeted the video.
Mm. Oh, he did?
Yes. Again, bringing people together.
Yeah.
He's all about the unity.
Yes.
See you tomorrow.